We pray. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Amen. Have you ever wondered what Noah was doing before the Lord came to him and told him to build the ark? Have you ever wondered what Abraham was doing before the Lord came and told him to leave his homeland and go to a place unknown? Have you ever wondered what Mary was doing before Gabriel came to announce to her that she would be the mother of the Savior? As for the shepherds outside of Bethlehem, we know what they were doing before the angel came to announce to them the birth of the Savior. In all likelihood, these other people were doing the same kinds of things. They were engaged in the same kind of activities that they would do on a normal day. Working at a job, tending the sheep, cleaning house, and so forth. Martin Luther wrote, "Quite possibly Mary was doing the housework when the angel Gabriel came to her. Angels prefer to come to people as they are fulfilling their calling and discharging their office." Now that seems reasonable. However, in the final analysis, we don't know what Noah and Abraham and Mary were doing. That's probably just as well that we don't. If we were told what they were doing, we would probably come to the conclusion that that had something to do with the reason why these people were chosen. As it is, there are many people in the world who think that Noah and Abraham and Mary were chosen by God because they were more godly than the average person. Perhaps they were. But that's not why God chose them. The Spirit acknowledges that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. However, when the Spirit tells us why Noah was chosen, why he was separated from the rest of the world, the Spirit tells us that Noah found favor in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord. Now that word favor is basically the same as the word grace. So what the word is telling us is that Noah did not deserve to be the one chosen to live through the flood and carry on the promise of the Savior. God chose him because of God's own love. And God's love does not look for a reason outside of itself. God chose Noah because God loved Noah. And that's about all we can say. As for Abraham, we are told that he was a man of great faith. However, we are also told by the Apostle Paul that the promise of salvation depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his, that is Abraham's, offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So the Apostle Paul explains that this whole thing about the promise, which is grasped by faith, all of that has to do with grace. So Abraham received and believed the promise because of the grace of God. For that matter, Abraham's great faith followed the promise. It did not precede it. So it couldn't have been the reason why God chose him. And then there's Mary, one of the humblest women of all time. She received the highest honor that could be bestowed upon a woman. The honor of carrying within her own womb the Son of God incarnate, the Savior of the world. we might think that Mary could have strutted about Nazareth with her nose up in the air and announcing to everyone that she, among all the women of Israel, is the only one that was chosen now to be the mother of the Savior. Is that what Mary did? We hear her say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." You see how she gives all the glory to God? And she marvels that God would choose such a lowly sinner as herself. Yes, a sinner, for she calls God her Savior. She celebrates the superiority not of herself, but the superiority of God and His grace. Noah carried a promise. Abraham carried a promise. Mary carried the promise itself, the child. And what about us? Do we carry anything or anybody? Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ who lives in me. Every believer can say this. None of us could even believe if it weren't for the fact that Christ is living in us. So yes, we too carry Christ about within us. And you think of the Lord's Supper, in which we actually receive the body and blood of Christ, not in a merely in a make-believe manner, but really and substantially. So in that sense too, we carry Christ about within us. But why? Why you? Why me? Are we going to strut about in the streets and arrogantly proclaim some moral superiority that caused God to choose us? Choose us to be Christ bearers? As did Mary, we also declare, our souls magnify not us, but the Lord. And our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servants. This we say, because of all people, Christ bearers know that they have done nothing to deserve such a blessing, an eternal blessing. We are the objects of the grace of God, as was Noah and Abraham and Mary. He has chosen us because of his own love for us. In fact, in order to make us Christ bearers, he first had to remove that which stood in the way. He had to cleanse us from the sins that made us unworthy of this great honor. So truly this God, this Christ, this child of Mary is our Savior. His blood washes away our sins and makes us worthy. So now Christ dwells within us. Hymn 647, verse 4.